Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Yeshua. We just ask you to open our hearts to your word. May we realize that we are creatures and you're a creator. And may we realize, Lord, that we're fallen. And we need Yeshua, Jesus, every minute of our lives. And in his name we pray, amen. How many knows what today is? Okay. Well, let me read it to you. Silence mocks the Holocaust Memorial Day. January 27th, the anniversary of the Soviet Army entered the gates of Auschwitz, the death camp in 1945, designated as an annual international day of commemoration in memory of the victims of the Holocaust. The United Nations, which convened a solemn ceremony in the world headquarters, features a website statement by the Holocaust survivors and Professor Nachum Tech. The Holocaust teaches us that no matter how oppressive life is, some people are able to rise above the cruelty of the times by extending helping hands to one another, and in the ability to risk their lives on behalf of others, they ought to have hope. In our troubled times, when conditions, though bad, are nowhere near as bad as the Holocaust, it was a time of international community to go beyond the annual moment of silence on behalf of Hitler's victims by unanimously or unambiguously speaking out against a multiplied global anti-Semitism, including the Holocaust denial. Anti-Semitism is masquerading as anti-Zionism, and it's becoming more and more prevalent. And here's some examples. While the world diplomats line up to court the electronically victorious, supposedly modern Egyptian Muslim Brotherhood, the group's first move was to block the prayers at the graveside of a saintly scholar. Meanwhile, the Brotherhood, the Arabic language website, touts the Holocaust denial, while a spokesman observed the Holocaust Remembrance Day by declaring that Shoah is a tale exploited for politics. And the entire world, and Germany in particular, has become nearly scapegoats of the world's Zionism and capitulated the greatest political extortion in history. No Western democracy has condemned the Brotherhood for this religious intolerance. No one's said a word. Libya, the new Arab Spring, government refused to allow David Gerbe, exiled in Italy since age 12 after 1967 day war, to clean the long closed Tripoli synagogue and rehabilitate the Jewish cemetery. None of the Western governments who helped remove Gaddafi from power raised a voice to help Gerbe for his humanitarian quest. They were silent. The EU members prepared to observe the Holocaust Remembrance Day. The Dutch government rejects the calls to apologize for the influence and the fate of 100,000 Jews. 75% of the Jewish population was exterminated in Holland. They won't apologize. Latvia, Riga. The court removed a council order to ban the Legion's Day, paving the way for a march in the city honoring 140,000 Latvians who fought in the Waffen SS during World War II on the side of the Nazis. Lithuania, authorities pay lip service to the destruction of the Lithuanian Jewry during the Holocaust, but rewrite the historic narrative of World War II to deny the collaboration by Lithuania in the mass murder of more than 90% of their Jewish neighbors. London, School of Economics, students chose a Nazi-themed drinking song. A Jewish student had his nose broken for daring to protest, leading the activist group to label an LSE. I don't know what that term means, but it's bad. The Friends Seminar in New York refuses to withdraw the invitation from musician-turned-polemicist Gilead Dasman, whose book, The Wandering Who, argues that the Holocaust was not an historical narrative. Auschwitz was not the death camp. Accusations of Jews making matzah out of young Goyim's blood may be true. And Hitler might have been right all along. While international action has belatedly launched the head of Iran's nuclear ambition, no government or non-government organization has tried to drag Tehran to The Hague for its state-sponsored Holocaust denial. The drumbeat of the pre-genocidal anti-Jewish and anti-Judaic rant websites and the recent TV show Saturday Hunter, whose loathing of the Jews and Judaism would have made Hitler weep for joy. Then there's Germany, the nation that till today struggles with the legacy of hate left by Hitler. Thousand-year Reich, the bad news abounded by multiple fronts, and just released report commissioned for the Bundestag acknowledges that anti-Semitism remains deeply embedded in German society, not only among the far right, but the Islamist extremes, but also the public at large. For the Holocaust denial outline is to chant Jews to the gas chamber at a soccer game. They just had that at a soccer game. They chanted that. The denial of Israel's right to exist is increasingly radicalized by Islamists. Wolfgang Tirst, vice president of the German parliament, hit the nail on the head when he said, Der Spiegel, the problem is not the question of a few selective issues, but a long-standing and chronic, a hatred of God's chosen people. What do these diverse examples have in common? Silence and indifference. Too many diplomats, media respected ethical voices, fail to silence when those targeted hate for the Jews. Despite for the fact that hating the targeting Jews, Judaism remains disproportionately high. In 2012, Jewish victims are not deemed worthy of moral solidarity. Yet history confirms again and again that the unchallenged anti-Semitic libels ultimately ignite anti-Jewish acts. The International Holocaust Memorial has meaning to those who take the time to stand for silence of 6 million dead Jews who begin to speak in defense of embattled Jews. Now, I got this today after my nephew sent me a video on Facebook about some new movies that showed these people being gassed and then showed them being thrown in ditches and bulldozed into trenches. Now, the Islamic world denies this. And I don't know if anybody's ever heard what's happening over in France about the Armenians. Anybody know anything about the Armenians? 1.5 million Armenians were killed by the Turkish government. They killed them in 1915, took them out in boxcars, and now over in France, they've got a law over there that says if you deny this, you're going to have to pay a fine, because the Islamists are over there saying this never happened. And I read a book, I tried to find it tonight, where this guy actually witnessed it, this Englishman, witnessed these Turkish soldiers going into Armenian houses and slaughtering these people with swords and beheading them, and then saying it didn't happen. Well, there's a guy that says, I'm okay, you're okay. I don't remember when it was, a book 10 or 12 years ago, but everybody's okay. Well, that doesn't sound like everybody's okay. Humanity just has a few character flaws. Genesis 6:11 said God looked down and the earth was corrupt before God and filled with violence. The whole earth had corrupted itself. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned. Now, we not be that bad. Now, we don't think we're that bad. But there's 3,000 abortions a day. 50 million Americans have been aborted. You think God doesn't take that into notice? You got another thing coming. Ezekiel says in 18:4, the soul that sins, it shall die. Now, the world's moving on a timeline, and I think everybody here that's maybe not as old as I am, but fairly decent, can see the apostasia starting to take place. And basically what we're talking about, There's certain events that are going to happen in the end time that people have to be aware of. And these events are in our Bible. Now, of course, the vast majority of young people don't read the Bible. Now, I'm not indicting everybody. Don't get me wrong, because I knew you people wouldn't be your Bible readers. But the thing of it is, I had a situation. I guess you probably wouldn't care. My granddaughter's in high school, and she's getting ready to graduate. And I won't name the high school, but the man teaching the class says he's not a Christian, but he's got a beard. And so on the wall, he put yes and no. And my last name begins with a B, and Hernandez too. So, and he said, how many people are not in favor of homosexual unions? My granddaughter gets up and walks over there. Then the rest of the class walked to the other side and left her by herself. God bless her. Now, Romans 3:4, may God be true and every man a liar.
Amen.
Now, I'm simply saying that we don't think it's bad, but it's going to get worse and worse and worse. If we stay in the Bible and we pray and we go to church and we do the things that the means that God has given us and try, I think we're okay. But I'm going to read you some things that happen that I think one of the most interesting things, in order for anything to take place at all, in God's economy, Israel has to be back in the land. It has to be a nation. It's a national entity. It's been around since May of 1948. Think about that. They must possess Jerusalem. I'm going to read the scriptures to you. It's Zechariah 12, just to show you where it's at. If you want to look it up, you don't have to, because I'm going to read it. But basically what we're talking about, there are certain things have to really come to pass. Now, one of the most interesting things, when we go to Zechariah, I believe that the Bible is speaking to this. I believe it's actually speaking to this situation. But what he's talking about is, behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the peoples round about it, and they shall be in siege against it, Judah, and against Jerusalem. So what we're seeing here, we know that right now that the problem in the Middle East is Israel. And not only the Middle East, the problem is Jerusalem, who the Muslims call El Quds. And they say that the land is theirs, and the Bible says the land is Israel's. Now, I'm going to go read you in the book of Ezekiel. It's Ezekiel 36. And what we have happening here, we have a situation where God is going to speak. I'm going to plug in the names here in just a minute. But this is written 700 years before Christ. Also the Son of Man prophesies, say unto the mountains of Israel, and say to you mountains Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord the God, because the enemy hath said against you, aha, even the ancient high places, there are possessions. Therefore prophesy and say to them, as the Lord God, because you have made you a desolate and swallowed up on every side, that you might be a possession under the residue of the nations, and you are taken up in the lips of the talkers and the infamy of your people. Therefore, you mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God to the mountains and the hills and the rivers and to the valleys and to the desolate wastes and to the cities forsaken, which became a prey and a derision to the residue of the nations that they're round about. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, surely in the fire of my jealousy I have spoken against the residue of these nations and against all Edom, who have appointed my land into their possession. Who do you think Edomites are? They're the same progenitors that are over there that have been contesting with the Jews. I want to say since Ishmael, but that's not really correct. That's Amalek, but I won't get into that. But the resistance started with Ishmael. And he goes on to say, and a possession and joy of all the heart and despiteful minds to cast out for a prey. Now, he goes on to say he's talking about these people are appropriating the land. And isn't that what's happening over there today? All their cities are being taken over. Bethlehem, Hebron, they're all being renamed. Now, we've got to have another situation. We've got to have Israel being threatened. And I'll turn to Zechariah. It's the 14th chapter. And basically what we'll do, we just take a look at it, because we can see right now from the way the situation is going here in the world slowly is turning against Israel, and they're blaming Israel for being the problem. And they're wanting to divide the land, and they're wanting to say, this really isn't your land, this is international land, and they want to internationalize it, and they want to, but Israel doesn't want to do that. But the 14th chapter, I want to explain. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm going to read a couple verses here. It's starting at verse 4. Well, I'm going to start at verse 1. I'm sorry. I'll start at verse 1. It's better. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and the spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses raffled, and the women ravished. And shall go forth into the captivity, and the residue of the people shall be cut off from the land. Now, looking ahead, it says, a visible return. Now, this is going to be the return when this happens. And his feet shall stand that day on the Mount of Olives, and before Jerusalem, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst towards the east and the midst towards the west. Now, what that's saying is, and it's parallelism, but it's simply saying there's going to come a time when this nation is going to be completely besieged by everybody. Nobody's going to take it. Now, I will say this, and it says that there's going to be a cleaving, and I'll read what it says. There shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain will remove toward the north and half of the mountain toward the south. And I heard a guy today say he's talking about plate tectonics. And down in Africa, the African plate is starting to shift. Now, that doesn't mean anything to us, but that plate goes all the way up to Israel. And this is the point he was making. It's not shifted yet, but it's starting to tremor. That hasn't moved for centuries. Now it's starting to move. And that's an interesting observation, and I just heard that the other day. But I think it's interesting that he made that comment. Also, we find out that in order for Israel to have this, they're going to bring back their Levitical system. Now, that it's going to be in Ezekiel. And it's very interesting, if anybody wants to look at it, it's Ezekiel 44:15. And I'll just turn to it so you can look at it. Then I'll explain the ramifications here. 44:15. Now, this is the temple. But it says, but the priests and the Levites and the sons of Zadok are kept charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray. For me, they shall come near to me to minister unto me, and they shall stand before me and offer unto me, for the blood saith the Lord. Now, the interesting part of this is that genetically they found the Y chromosomes, and I said that the other night, in Israel, they ran these Y chromosomes and they found the Sephardic, which are the Oriental, and they're looking for Cohens, and they found these people have it's kind of technical, but basically what they're talking about, the genetic line that's coming into them, they can prove who the priesthood is. So they got all these people with this genetic line, and they also have the names Levi, Kohen, all these are priestly names. So they can genetically now find the names, and I think that's interesting. Also, in order for this to happen, these end time events to happen, we're going to have a nations which at least have 10 toes on them. Now, these 10 toes are in Daniel 2:44. And I'm going to just turn there so you can just take a look at it here. These are things that really kind of have to be. They have to be because the Bible has already spoken on it. Now, what we're talking about here, very clear. We don't know when these things are going to happen, but it says, and they're talking about the kings and the kings in this image, it says, and the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And that kingdom will not be left to other people, but he shall break it to pieces and consume all these other kingdoms, and he shall stand forever. Forasmuch as thou sawest the stone which was cut without hands, that broke the pieces of iron and bronze and clay and silver and gold, they hit the image on the feet. And I think that's very interesting. And what we're talking about partly iron and partly clay. We're finding out that this is up to me, this is an image of the world empires. And the last world empire is going to be 10 nations. I don't know how it's going to stack up with Europe over there, but falling apart. But it's eventually going to end up with 10 people. And then another thing they have to have, for these things to take place. Now, remember, we're a generation, they were looking for the signs. We're looking at the signs. We are seeing these things, and this generation that sees these, they're going to see this be fulfilled. Now, I don't know what I'm going to be. I'm not that generation. It could be 100 years. I don't know. I don't think so. Things are moving too fast. But another thing they have to have a way to number everybody. The Bible says that there's going to be a numbering system put in, and that's Revelation 13, 16, and nobody's going to be able to buy or sell if they don't have that numbering system. Now, we laugh about that. India's starting to do it. They're going to have 1 billion people numbered. Now, we got to figure out what country is. Now, you can't make cash transactions. You got to use credit cards. Next, it'll be ID cards. Next, they won't be taking money. These are things that all are taking place. And the Bible, this is in Revelation. This was 2,000 years ago when this was predicted. And people used to laugh at it. Then we have another thing, which is Matthew 24, and I'm going to turn to it and read it to you. Particularly, verse 22. This is extremely interesting when we look at this. Because what we're talking about here, we have to have the ability to destroy all flesh. You don't do that with cannons and muskets or bows and arrows. You have to have something that will destroy all flesh. And it says that, it says, and except those days were shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but unto the elect those days shall be shortened. Now the point of it is, we don't know exactly how to interpret that. But we know that unless there's going to be an intervention, no flesh is going to be able to be saved. Now, we're on some pretty shaky ground right now with one of the countries. I don't know if anyone knows anything about Shiism or not. But the Shias are going to have to start the war. And they believe by starting in the war, it'll bring in the Mahdi. Now, that in itself is problematic. And I talked to a guy about that. And he was in person. He was a Shia. And he said, you're going to be in a big trouble. And I said, no, I'm not. But I won't tell you the guy's name. But I asked him, and he said that. Said that he believes that. So that's not secondhand information for me. But the interesting thing of it is, it's going to be as the days of Noah. And that's verse 36 of Matthew 24. But as the day and the hour knoweth no man, not even the Father, but as the days of Noah, verse 37, so shall it be the coming of the Son of Man. Well, now there's two ways you can look at that. They're buying and selling, they're having a good time, but hey, at that time, Genesis 6:11 said the earth was corrupt. Look at Mexico. The cartels are getting ready to take the government over. It's the most violent country in the world. And then Pakistan's next, the most violent country. We're living in a world that is full of violence, and we don't see it here because we have the residue of a Christian country. But as things go on and on and on, and people don't obey the law, and people have economic problems, then they start go unto themselves. That's called apostasy. And I'm just simply saying these things, when you're talking about it, these things, we don't know exactly how to interpret these things. But we do know this, that we're living in this time frame because Yeshua said, I'll read it to you where it says this. Verily, verily, I say unto you. Well, I'll read what he says. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When its branches are yet tender and putteth forth leaves, and ye know that summer's near. So likewise, when you shall see all these things, know that is near even at the door. For verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. The only point I'm talking about, if you want to take a look at the fig tree's Israel. And there's no doubt in my mind that the fig tree is blossoming, and there's no doubt in my mind they're in extreme pain over there, not knowing what's going to happen. And nobody appears to be helping them, even us. Now that leaves us. What do we do? Well, if we're that generation, we got to live holy lives, but we've also got to communicate to people that don't believe us what's going on. And that's why we have to give them the word. I talked about last week, the word is what converts people. Not polemics, not arguments, the word. You give them the word. You give them the word. God's word is moved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works on a person's heart. I think I told you about that guy has had a, now I might not have told you, but the guy has a condition where his heart stops. I tell you, all he wants to talk about is the Lord. That's all he wants to talk about. He doesn't care about football. He don't care about anything anymore because every time he turns around, his heart's stopping. I saw a guy on the program I watched. He had 2 days to live. That's all he wanted to do is talk about the Lord. And he died 2 days later or a week later. He had cancer of the lungs. And all I'm saying, we don't see we're in peril. But one of these days, we're going to pick the paper up and something's going to happen. That's all I can say. I'm not saying it's going to be tomorrow. I'm not going to say it's a week from now. But I am saying the way things are going, particularly the barometer, God's barometer is Israel. You want to know what's going on? You just watch the Jew over there. He'll tell you what's going on. Because he's back in his land and they're telling him it's not his land and he's not going to give up the West Bank. Now, I do think there may be some dividing the city down. But anyhow, I'll go ahead and close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you so much. We praise you, Lord. We realize that we are sinners and we can realize that by the indifference people are given to the Holocaust. We realize, Lord, the greatest thing we can possibly do is to tell somebody about Yeshua, to tell somebody about Jesus, that he died for them. He died an excruciating, painful death. And by trusting in him, we can be assured of being with him in heaven. In his name we pray. Amen.